What's up, everybody? Go ahead and check your posture right now. Are your shoulders slumped? Is your chest caved in? Are your arms folded over yourself? If this is the case, you 100% have HIV/AIDS. Jokes. That doesn't mean that you have AIDS, but it does mean you most likely lack confidence in this moment. In this podcast, we're going to tell you how you fix that. It's all about body language. Zach, tell them what's on the menu.
So in this episode, we're going to be talking about body language, body-mind connection, power poses and its effects, lying in the self, self-affirmation theory, bullying, what importance does eye contact really have, and much, much more.
All right. So hello, everybody. I'm your host, Noah.
And I'm your host, Zach.
And this is the Big Chew Podcast.
So before we get started, we just want to let you know that each episode we do, we spend a lot of time on preparation.
Yeah, we carefully comb through each long-form podcast, then we break it down for only the juiciest bits for you guys. We compare notes, we debate, and then we elaborate for you.
So when you do learn something from this podcast, we ask that you share it with someone you know, and you go ahead and leave a comment and review about what it is that was most interesting to you.
Don't forget to check us out on all our socials. It will be in the description along with our sponsors, so press that like button and subscribe. That way you don't miss any future Big Chews.
So get ready to chow down and knowledge up. Let's begin the Big Chew Podcast.
Let's go. Okay, so who do we cover today? We covered the Diary of a CEO podcast, and it was with Dr. Amy Cuddy. So let's talk about her. Dr. Amy Cuddy is a social psychologist. She's a best-selling author, a keynote speaker. Her writing, research, and teaching and speaking focus on presence and performance, especially under stress, the causes and outcomes of feeling powerful versus powerless, prejudice and stereotyping, nonverbal behavior, the delicate balance of projecting trustworthiness and strength, and most recently, the psychology of bullying, bystanding, and social bravery.
Now, after earning her PhD at Princeton University, she was a professor at Harvard Business School and Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management. Now, her 2012 TED Talk, "Your Body Language May Shape Who You Are," is the second most popular of all time with more than 68 million views.
So this is going to be a good one.
Yeah. So guys, check out her book, Presence, Bringing Your Boldest Self to Your Biggest Challenges, and her latest book, Bullies, Bystanders, and Bravehearts, which delves into the psychological causes and consequences of bullying, not among children, but among adults.
Ooh. All right, Zach, what did you think about this podcast?
So one of the most fascinating things to me, even back in the college days, is body language. So I thought it was awesome. And again, there's things that you forget that you can be reminded. And I like that there were so many useful tools that she talked about, not like, hey, here's some stats. It's like, here's like what you can do on your own anyways, anywhere to change your hormones instantly, for example, you know? So I think a lot of people will like that as much as I did. What about you?
Yeah. As you guys may or may not know, me and Zach are like sales backgrounds all the way. And body language is one of the things that I would say that in our time of doing sales, we got pretty damn good at, right? And good at teaching other people. And it's so powerful. And we taught this so much and we learned so much about this. And this one delves into like actionable steps that you can do right now and just all the psychology behind it. So super interesting. It's going to be a juicy and a long one. So I don't want to take any more time there. Let's get into it.
To start off, about half or more of our first impressions of someone is based around body language. So body language isn't just how we communicate with others. It's also how we are communicating with ourselves. The way we carry ourselves is communicating to our brain things like we are safe or unsafe, threatened or unthreatened, you know, confident or unconfident.
Yeah. So this is all based on body-mind connection and feedback studies. The first studies were done on facial expressions. So there are some universal facial expressions we should just get out of the way. For instance, happiness, it's associated with smiling, sadness with crying, widened eyes with being surprised. Since these are universal, this indicates that all humans are hardwired like this in our brains. So a great question here is, if these things are hardwired in our brains, then can you reverse the direction of these actions? What do I mean by that? For instance, when you're happy, you smile, right? Okay, so what if you aren't happy, but you force a smile? Can you make yourself more happy by doing so?
The answer is yes, indeed, you can. Now, these facial feedback studies confirm this. One study had a group of people hold a pencil between their teeth that made them smile. That another group hold a pencil in their teeth that didn't make them smile. They held it back, right? They changed it. Those that were in the smile category showed improved mood. They liked the experimenter better. They liked things put in front of them better. They felt happier than those who were not in the forced smile group.
Yeah, yeah. So these studies expanded to look at other facial expressions. They looked at movement, posture, breathing, and its effects on moods. And here are some of the wild ones that they discovered. When you have someone who suffers from major depressive disorder and you have them open up their posture just even for a couple of minutes and then have them fill out a depression scale afterwards, they are less depressed.
Now, when you treat people with PTSD and you show them yoga poses that open them up, their body, it reduces their PTSD symptoms.
Hmm. Yeah. So Amy was asked, you know, why do you think your TED Talk became the second most viewed ever and went so viral? She said it's because there were many universal truths that most likely resonated across cultures and people. She spoke a lot in her TED Talk about imposter syndrome. Almost everyone feels like an imposter at some point in their life. She said the talk made people feel more connected, more understood, not alone, and gave people an actual blueprint to feel more powerful.
Speaking of more powerful, let's talk about like power poses and the effects. So here's a list of poses and actions that will improve your agency of power over yourself. So put your hands on your hips like a superhero pose, right? Spread legs, or hands above your head outstretched in the air and wide. These improve confidence. Walking in longer strides, swinging your arms more as you walk, talking more slowly, breathing deeply while you're speaking, really deeping in general. Now, these activate what psychologists call the behavioral approach system. This behavior approach system causes us to see challenges, not as threats, but more like opportunities, to look at people as possible friends and allies instead of threats. It makes us more creative because we aren't feeling cognitively limited. We have more of an abundance mindset. We aren't as defensive. And Dr. Cuddy says, most importantly, we are more likely to take action. So when we feel powerful, we are more likely to do that. And action, not just for ourselves, but action for other people.
Yeah. So taking action is huge, which brings us to the bystander intervention. So research on bystander intervention asks the question, when will people step in and help someone else in emergencies? Well, the best predictors of this is when people have feelings of being personally powerful, agency over themselves. So people who feel personally powerful, they don't second guess themselves and think, oh man, I'm not the right person to help here. They just step in and they help.
So let's talk about like signs of powerlessness in body language. So if your shoulders are like up and forward, maybe you're like collapsing your chest, you're wrapping your hands and arms around your torso, like a self hug. Maybe your mm-hmm. limbs are pulled inward. Your legs might be crossed and ankles wrapped around each other. So basically anything where you make yourself seem smaller.
Yeah, these are signs of powerlessness. So people who wake up in the side fetal position are more anxious than those who don't. This is correlational data, not necessarily causal. For instance, you might be anxious and that's why you went into the fetal position and woke up like that, as opposed to being in the fetal position and then getting more anxious because of that. Nonetheless, if you wake up in the fetal position, Dr. Cuddy says stretch out into a starfish position in bed before getting out of bed to force your body to expand outwards. She says check your posture while you drive, while you sit, check your breathing. Open body posture is a good symbol of more confidence and power. Closed and inward positioning and slouching is the exact opposite.
So some action steps of body language to get better response from others and feel better about yourself, Dr. Cuddy recommends being more open with your body, like leaning inward or forward, open hands, palms up, not wrapping yourself up, like, you know, hands in pockets, arms around you, crossed arms. People will mirror this in conversation.
Yeah, so not only will your body language improve and your mood, but other people's will too by you doing that good body language. Dr. Cuddy says some of the biggest improvements have come with combat PTSD veterans in teaching them expansive yoga, posturing and breathing techniques to give them more agency and power over their bodies. So this connects with the brain and body, and there's been massive improvements with PTSD symptoms through this. She encourages people to do these poses when alone, not just while in public, to practice open bodiness.
So before we get into the big chew, if you have learned anything so far, or you just enjoy the podcast, please give us a like, review, and share. We'd really appreciate it. And now it's time for the big chew. Let's begin.
Okay, right. Let's talk about lying in the self. And by the way, we're going to have two big chews, baby.
So number one.
Number one big chew, lying in the self. Lying is the decay of trust. So lying to yourself or making a commitment to yourself and then continually breaking that commitment, even if nobody else knows it, is really detrimental to the perception of yourself. We own our narratives. So make sure yours is a story you'd like to share with yourself and others. Keep those commitments to yourself and gain your own trust. To further this, there's actually research done on older people with physical health and mortality in relation to their view of themselves. Here's what it found. Older people who had more positive personal narratives of themselves lived significantly longer than those who had a negative narrative of themselves. This was even if they had the same job, same living situations, etc. It really all came down to their self-perception for extending their actual lifespans.
Jeez. So essentially how you view yourself will make you live longer or not.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So big chew number two, and this is authenticity, and it's important.
Authenticity.
Yeah, authenticity. I got it. Now, when people feel powerless, they are less able to be authentic. Now, the same body language associated with lower authenticity is the same spectrum of body language associated with outright deception. So when people are knowingly lying to someone else, the body language that matters the most is not eye contact. What matters is the asynchrony, or the things out of synchronization. So between the emotions conveyed with the words and the emotions conveyed with your actual body language. For example, if you're telling a happy story, but your body language is suggesting that you are happy, then you do not come across as authentic.
Not happy. Sorry. If you're
not
language,
happy. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. So yeah, if you're telling a happy story and your body is completely sad, you're going to come across as not authentic. You will be seen as lying to yourself or others.
Right. So a lot of the time, being unauthentic is really just a lie to oneself. Perhaps they're actually not intentionally being unauthentic. They're just afraid of being true to themselves. And that's why their body language is coming off as unauthentic. So literally, their body is a lie because, their body language is a lie because they're not even feeling comfortable with their bodies themselves. Most people can't quite articulate what was off when someone's unauthentic. You know, they won't put together that their words aren't matching their body language. Yet most people will know something is off, and they will say and feel, hey, that person is unauthentic because of the body language.
Okay.
That concludes our big chews.
So let's talk about, you know, relationships between body language and attractiveness. So dominant body language is found to be more attractive. Dr. Cuddy says it's not like overly alpha, but confident and warm body language from both men and women is more attractive. There's a study done with dating app pictures, and both men and women that had more open poses and more open body language in their profile pictures were actually the ones seen more attractive.
It's pretty cool. So this self-affirmation theory, I love this part. Dr. Cuddy debunks a lot associated with self-affirmations. She said there's so many people out there, you know, promoting looking in a mirror and saying things like, I'm the best, I'm great, you know, etc. And she says, we know now that doing this while you feel bad about yourself actually makes it worse. Not only do you not believe it, but now you feel like a liar on top of already feeling bad about yourself.
So here's what to do instead. So with self-affirmations, there has been hundreds of experiments done, and a leading study has helped people list the top 2 to 3 values or qualities that make them who they are. They then have the person rank these values and qualities and write a paragraph about a time they expressed that value or quality, and then another paragraph about how it feels to express those values or qualities.
Yeah, so when they did that, the study showed on average that people did better on difficult tasks after writing out what they valued the most and what qualities they love the most about themselves. It even showed a decrease in stress hormones like epinephrine. So basically, if you anchor yourself and understand what you value, it will help ground you and feel better about yourself, and you'll even perform better in general.
Another side note, Dr. Cuddy is not a big believer in New Year's resolutions. There's a big reason. Now, New Year's resolutions can be fun to make, but most of the time, these are huge, grandiose goals that will, you know, probably give up on quickly and don't achieve most people. She believes small incremental nudges in the right direction make a real big difference over time. So setting small little goals of how to get a little bit better each time. Like if you're nervous about public speaking, go out there and do it. Then no matter the outcome, see if you can improve your breath next time or where you place your hands. So no matter what the thing is for you, improve one small thing each time you get back to it.
Yeah, so there's going to be plenty of things out of your control, And I love this. There's plenty of things out of control, but it's much easier to accept a negative outcome if you did control the things that you could, right? It's much easier to accept that negative outcome if you control the things that you could. I think that's really powerful.
Yeah, I like that too. Bringing it to the pandemic and why we still have lasting effects from it. This is interesting, right?
Yeah.
Dr. Cuddy explains that as humans, we are wired to deal with a crisis that lasts maybe a couple months, not one that lasts 3+ years, and not one that yanks us back and forth between crisis and not crisis. For instance, the back and forth of, okay, everything's all right. Then you got crazy Delta variant. Okay, then we come out, oops, Omicron now. Now, living in this limbo state where we had one foot on the safe side and one on the threatened side is not good.
Yeah, so she says that we get through crises through what's called surge capacity. So this is actually a network and a combination of physical and mental resources that help us survive. And this runs out, unfortunately, pretty quickly. So this is studied a lot in combat soldiers. So let's say like the first battle, it's this emergency phase and all the soldiers are very focused. The goal is very clear and shared with the teammates. The team is connected. After this surge capacity, then they go into regression and they feel disjointed and it's not as clear and focused as what the mission is. She says this long limbo phase that the world went through with the pandemic will have lasting negative effects and we should have grace with one another as we go forward.
Which brings us to the fast facts. These came up randomly in different parts of the conversation, but we do think they're important for you guys to know. So let's begin these fast facts.
Let's do it. Okay, a true and genuine smile involves your mouth and your eyes. So your muscles around your eyes when you smile will contract. And of course, with your mouth, you will open and show your teeth.
Now, when we get anxious, we breathe more quickly and very shallowly. Like many people speed up their words when speaking if they're nervous or anxious. Dr. Cuddy says one of the best tools for anxiety before speaking is to focus on only your breath. Breathing slowly will improve your confidence and naturally relax your body so you can perform better.
Love it. This is really cool. Language is about 150 to 200,000 years old, and humans are 200,000 plus years old. So there's most likely a time period of up to 50,000 years that people didn't communicate with language at all, but instead they use other cues like body language and tonality, thus showing you body language comes first.
Now, this was mentioned, it was interesting. The woman who originally studied imposter syndrome wishes she had called it the imposter experience instead. Calling it a syndrome suggests it's like pathological, you know, or caused by a disease or extreme, excessive, or abnormal. And it's not, it's actually very common.
Yeah. All right, here's another one. 40% of people sleep in the side fetal position, and it's actually the most common sleeping position in the world.
And you have what's called penguin arms. When people don't know what to do with their hands when speaking, they actually pin their wrists to their waist. So it's like only, like when they're talking, it's like only their hands move a little bit, but they're like outward like a penguin. So keep an eye out for that. It's funny.
Okay, if you're going on any date soon, check this out. The top sign of a first date that's not going well, besides body language, first of all, with body language, it's making yourself smaller or leading away, but is talking too much and not asking questions to the other person.
Now, about 20% of students ages 12 to 18 already experienced bullying nationwide.
Here's another one. Workplace bullying in adults is still very prevalent and increases suicide rates a good bit.
1/3 of the globe's youth is bullied. This ranges from as low as 7% in Tajikistan and 74% in Samoa. Holy shit.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on in Samoa, but a lot of bullying. It's mean. Okay, low socioeconomic status is a main factor in youth bullying within wealthy countries.
Yeah, so making fun of poor people is not cool, man.
Yeah.
Here's a great quote, which I love a lot. Trust is the conduit of influence. That was one of the last things that was brought up by her during the podcast.
Conduit being like a channel, like the flow, right? You have to trust someone in order to have influence over them.
Like you
right?
have someone to have to trust you. Period, to have that influence.
Love it. That's a great quote. And that concludes our fast facts. Okay. What importance does eye contact really have? All right, so this is hard to answer because there's so many different cultural differences between people when making eye contact. Some are taught, don't make eye contact with authority, otherwise you're seen as, or you'll be seen as lying. It could be seen as rude in many East Asian cultures to hold eye contact too long. In the US, you can hold eye contact for a long time before it's seen as uncomfortable. So it's really a cultural thing.
Which kind of makes it depend. And then the question came up was like, how hard is it to fake body language? And her response was interesting. It's very, very, very hard to catch all the channels and quote unquote fake it. So like you have to have all vocal cues. That would mean like your speed, your tone, your projection. You'd have to hit all physical pieces, fingers, hands, feet, arms, face, all of your muscles in your face. Right. She mentions that maybe some of the highest level actors might be able to do it. Otherwise, it's nearly impossible to get it all right. And she mentions it's so unlikely to get it right, it's not even worth trying.
Right. So Dr. Cuddy has a famous saying, she's kind of famous for it. We've all heard fake it till you make it. So hers is fake it till you become it. So to explain this, fake it till you make it. Well, what happens when you make it? You've faked it all the way up. Now let's say you're a manager in this position and you've made it and you faked it the whole time. You don't have any idea what you're doing. So fake it till you become it is her saying. What she means by this is when you become it or as you're becoming it, you're growing, you're expanding, you're literally learning new things. So you're faking it until you're becoming it. So it means that you're learning as you're going and actually becoming the thing instead of just faking it until you make it. Does that make sense?
It does. That's exactly what ends up happening. And I think that it's very, very important that she talks about you just got to be open to growing. Like, you know, fake that you're going to give this talk in the most confident way, but also you should learn how to be most confident when you're doing it, right? It's like both.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to do both.
Okay. So to wrap up, let's recap like actually some of her world famous TED talk, right? So one of the first things, body language is completely the only universal language we have as humans.
So cool. Study from Princeton showed us that judgments of political candidate faces in just 1 second predict 70% of U.S. Senate and government race outcomes.
That's
nuts.
Damn. That's pretty close. I mean, now we are massively affected by our own body language more than we think. You know, feeling powerful in the moment, you expand yourself, you'll be prideful, your arms will be out or up in the air. Here's what's interesting. People born blind have the same body language as those born with sight. They do the same thing without ever seeing someone else do it. It's inherent in our DNA.
Like a blind person who's happy, they'll be more expansive. A blind person who's sad will be more like...
They'll also smile.
Yeah, and they'll smile and stuff too. So it's like, it's literally, and it's inherent in our DNA. I think that's so cool. Smiling by force does make you feel happier. Standing in a power stance by force does make you feel more powerful. So try those things out.
Now, when feeling powerful, it actually, or doing a power pose, let's say, for example, it affects two hormones very noticeably, very quickly. And this is within 2 minutes of a power pose. Your testosterone goes up, which is the power hormone. Cortisol goes down. That's the stress hormone. Mm. So that's important. Now, they tested this in a lab and it changed people's physiology immediately. You have a 20% increase in testosterone and a 25% lower in cortisol. Again, this is within 2 minutes. So body language changes your hormones, even if it's forced body language. Our bodies do change our mind.
Yeah. And Zach, you'll have to explain this one. So it was basically giving a speech. It's actually just as important, if not more important, about how the people are like sitting in their body language than it is the speaker's body language. Can you explain that?
Yes. Like overall, there's been years of studies on this where you have rhetoric classes and they talk about, hey, have the best speech. What are the best words to say? What's your tonality supposed to be? And no one ever looked at the body language of the listeners. Uh-huh. And this dictates 10 times more of what is digested by the speaker than whatever the speaker is ever saying. Mm. So by you going out, let's say you're not even the strongest speaker. If you actually say, hey, I want everybody to expand your arms and sit up straight because this is something you're going to want to hear. If they do that, you will have 10 times more impact on what you said.
That's so cool.
That's insane, right? Like it's about how they are sitting, hearing you matters 10 times more than what you would ever say.
Very cool. Very cool. So guys, that wraps up this episode of The Big Chew. I thought that was pretty juicy. So thank you for the listen. Check us out next week. We aren't sure what we're covering, but we do know it's going to be a good one. And that's why we want you to message us on Instagram for any podcasts that you're interested in or you'd like for us to cover, and we will definitely check them out. And until next time, we'll see you on The Big Chew.
See ya! All right, guys, so let's wrap this up. I do want to mention we have the original link to the podcast in the description, so listen to the whole thing if you can. Now, if you thought this podcast provided some value to you, you can share some value with others. All of our links for our social media are listed, so don't forget, sharing is caring.
That's right. Now, when you do leave a review, please recommend any podcast you like for us to cover. Make sure to follow us on Spotify. And if you're listening to an Apple podcast, give us a rating that you think we deserve. We will see you back here next time for another episode of the Big Chew Podcast. See you then.